Well, I received a text message a few minutes ago from the Grabers, and they're currently fellowshipping at Living Water Fellowship San Antonio, and they pass on their blessings to you all. I guess that's how you say it in Texas, y'all. So they, I believe that they're headed back our direction on Wednesday. So look forward to that. In the way of announcements, I know that Nadine had asked earlier whether or not we could go to the park this afternoon, but I didn't coordinate that with Stacy to send out an email. So I noticed that everybody brought crock pots. So I think that we'll go ahead and fellowship here, and maybe if we wrap up early, we'll go to the park, kind of do a potluck here, and maybe either continue our fellowship here, or we'll decide later whether or not we want to go to the park. So let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this day and for the opportunity to come to gather together and just to open up your word and to just focus on you. Father, I pray that everything that is said, Lord, today will align with your word. And Father, if there's something that I say that doesn't, I just pray, Lord, that it will just hit the ground. Lord, we do commit this time, and we think about the Grabers, and we pray a special blessing upon them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I get started, I'm going to ask one of my children to grab some water or coffee, either one. So this morning, thank you, Harmony. This morning I was going to incorporate a short video from, there's a possibility that my techie family will assist and actually start a hotspot and update a player. But I was going to incorporate that. And I'm hoping that Raymond will be able to get that going. But one of the points of the message is to build our faith through just acknowledging, again, that God is the creator of the universe and the creator of all that is. So hopefully he'll be able to get that going, because it was kind of a key point in the lesson this morning. So, and also, Robert, if you could assist me, but the marker for the whiteboard. Last week, we talked about the spirit, the soul, and the body. We talked about how the soul is made up of the mind, will, and emotions, and that our spirit is a function, or it houses our faith, our conscience, our worship, and also wisdom, you know, seeing God, seeing the world and seeing our lives through the eyes of God. And then the body. And we talked about how the body is has the physical senses of light and sound and so on. Thank you. So we also talked about how important it is to have a balance, to be spiritually driven versus allowing our flesh to drive who we are and to bombard our soul, our mind, will, and emotions with desires of the flesh, as opposed to being driven by the Spirit. You know, last week I started talking about, again, how important it is for us to build a case for the for making our spirit primary or predominant in driving our soul. We're definitely we're spirit beings, and God's spirit indwells us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And I know Pastor Joseph always has the verses up on the screen, which I appreciate, but at the same time, I think it makes us a little lazy with bringing our Bibles to service. So if anything else, this is a check for us to actually look in our Bibles. So if we turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Spirit in the likeness of the sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm going to just pause there again. So we are definitely encouraged to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Going on to verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnality minded is death, but to live spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So again, with last week when we talked about the spirit, the soul, and the body, and we said that there's our physical senses flood our soul, and from the spiritual, it too has data that feeds into our mind, will, and emotion. So one thing that I know I battle with my flesh is covetousness. You know, wanting what someone else has. And I think that one of the things, this is one of those balance things, right? Where when we covet our spirit, one of the things in a form of worship is a grateful heart. And I have found to counteract that discontentment that comes up through the flesh is to have my spirit come down and bombard my soul with an attitude of praise and gratefulness. You know, when we're truly grateful for what the Lord has provided us, it's giving that balance to the flesh that comes up from our soul, or I'm sorry, from the body. It's a good thing for us to look at ways to become more sensitive, more spiritually sensitive. Last week we talked just briefly about memorizing scripture. If we bombard our soul with God's word, because we said that God's word is one way for us to become in tune with his indwelling, right? God indwells us. His spirit indwells us. So it's not just memorizing, but it's engrafting God's word into our heart. And one way we do that is by meditating. meditating on God's word, and coming up with different life scenarios that, you know, I'm always encouraging my guys, my children, to think through scenarios and to pre-make decisions, right? And the way we do that is by meditating on portions of scripture and putting it in first person and saying, when a scenario occurs, I am going to speak God's word into that. And that's engrafting God's word. You know, last week we briefly talked about Romans chapter 6, right? Where it talks about the fact that Christ is in us, and because he's in us, we participate in the baptism of death. So we are no longer slaves to sin. You know, we shouldn't be surprised when sinners sin, because they are enslaved to sin. But since the Spirit of God indwells in us, we're no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer a slave to sin. Therefore, we're dead to sin. And I talked a little bit about the, you know, if there was a dead person here and there was temptations that walked by, how does that dead person respond to that temptation? He doesn't. They're dead to it. So we, because God indwells in us, are dead to sin. Another way for us to be more sensitive to God's Spirit is take time to build our faith. Having our faith flood our soul. And this is, I wish I was like Pastor Graber with his ability to be an artist, because I'm what's in my mind and the visualization, I wish I could project to you guys. But you know, I'm thinking that, wow, if there's a giant flood here, right? We need to bombard our soul with our faith, because there's so much that comes up through the flesh. You know, TV ads, the zoo when it comes to evolution, right? We're bombarding our soul, and even our mind alone starts questioning the existence of God. You know, so we have... there's issues even with our own mind, will, and emotion, right? So picture this giant flood of faith and worship and gratefulness, right? That we need to constantly be bombarding our soul, our mind. You know, and it's a day to day, it's a moment by moment. I enjoy documentaries. All my children will say, "Yeah, video night. Dad wants to pick a documentary. Yay!" but you know, just this week, I was watching some on the ingenuity of humans. Take the tractor, for example. It was introduced in around 1908, thereabouts, and how the tractor was built upon, and all of a sudden tanks came from the tractor. There were just a number of inventions, the big earth movers that we see. Back east, the open pit mines, massive arms that actually pull the dirt away to expose coal seams and that type of thing. I'm intrigued by human ingenuity, the amount of engineering, the production, the design, the development, it amazes me, and that points to our Creator. You know, human ingenuity, the fact that God spoke everything that we see in existence, with all of the laws of science. You know, by education, I'm an electrical engineer and computer engineer. So the laws of electricity, for example, allow us to predict behavior. And because of that ability to predict, you know, the even the delay on your blades on your vehicle, the window wipers, right? All of that is just because of God's laws and then human ingenuity that he created us with the ability to reason. Literally, when we drive underneath a transmission line, we should have a grateful heart to our Creator who has created mankind with the ability to vision, engineer, design, build, deploy, and actually, that we benefit from the ability for our lights to run. You know, it's just so much around us that point to an incredible God. I don't know. When you turn your key on, you know, take advantage of allowing. You know, we need to be constantly looking at ways to bombard our soul, right? To build our faith. One of the things of the Spirit, right, is faith. Just acknowledging God as our Creator. And there's things around us when we turn our car on. When your computer boots up, you know, I because I'm an incident manager at work, things bust in IT. And I at times have joked around with people that if your computer boots up, you should stand up and applaud. You really should. Because of the just thinking through, starting with a transistor, you know, it's basically a gate, an on-off gate with a feeder, right? And then there's millions of those and all the Boolean logic and everything that goes into a computer. We truly should stand and applaud our Creator for just those little things in life. And I think that when we do, that builds our faith, and our faith floods our soul. And it's just, it makes it well with our soul, right? When we allow everyday life to be a reminder of who we are in Christ. Daily, we should focus on worshiping our faith and wisdom, seeing God, seeing the world through God's eyes. Again, I'm because I work in IT and technology. The fact that technology is, we're on an exponential curve. You know, I think back when I was a child, we actually had rhodial, the phones, where you put your finger in, right, and we were dialing. And then it was a big thing for us to have a cordless phone at home, right? And literally now, guys, the amount of compute power in this in just a few years, and with the vastness of how, you know, when we look to the heavens and seeing how vast our universe is, and hopefully the guys will be able to start a short little video that just shows us how small our solar system is within the Milky Way galaxy, and the fact that there are billions of galaxies in the universe. You know, it is mind-boggling. It really is. It's hard for us as humans to comprehend that. And all of that happened by God speaking it into existence. And I think that when we acknowledge that, That builds our faith. And then our faith floods our soul. And it keeps us balanced. You know, if we have this, these trickle in, right? Our existing, I'm reminded of this week. I've been trying to make this occur in my own soul. And I'm reminded of the second law of thermodynamics that talk about how things go from order to disorder. And, you know, very seldom without the energy of the sun or something do we see things move from disorder to order. You know, in our home, we see that almost in every room, right? We have this coat closet, and I don't know how it happens, but it constantly goes from order to disorder. And no one even goes in there, and it just kind of falls apart by itself. We all have homes that we're trying to maintain. And just last night, we were preparing for our trip this weekend, and we looked up on the side of the house, and I have some siding that, for whatever reason, started doing one of these, and it pulled the huge gaps. It used to be only a quarter-inch gap. Now there's inch gaps, and it was like, oh, Lord, yet something else to maintain, right? But if we think, if we use that as, wow, things do move from order to disorder. This is a good example, right? And I look for the fact that I can praise God in more house maintenance, but it's a constant reminder. It fills my mind with the fact that God is the creator. He created everything, right? We didn't just happen by accident, because if we did, then evolution implies that we move from chaos or disorder to order. Therefore, I would never have to do maintenance on my house. But the fact that I do, it's a reminder that God is my creator. And it also gives me a grateful heart. So I'm bombarding my soul with faith, with the fact that, you know, our God spoke everything into existence. If we move to Romans, or let's go to Psalms 8. Psalms chapter 8. Verse 1. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the soul of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. So at this point, when I consider your heavens, and that's one that this is where I was hoping that Raymond would have the ability for us to watch this little video on, 5 minutes? I think that what we're going to do, if it's okay with you guys, I'm going to wrap up the teaching, and we'll go on to our time of fellowship, and then we'll pause. And because I would like all of us to watch this, and we'll go ahead and do it during the fellowship time. Are we close? Close? Okay. In Psalms chapter 33, and thank you, Brother Dave, he's reminded me to speak slowly. Lower my voice, pause, speak slowly. You know, that's what's so comforting in a small fellowship is, you know, my wife has always reminded me, you know, just speak as though you were at the dinner table, right? And sharing with friends and family. So Psalms chapter 33. Starting in chapter, Psalms 33, verses 6 through 8. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them. By the breath of his mouth, he gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in the storehouse. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. You know, I think that going back to our faith, we really just stopping and pondering the heavens really builds our faith. You know, I encourage, like, I've got several now that are going to college, and they are bombarded with. Someone is trying to instill in them knowledge of our physical world and just putting knowledge in their mind. And unless it's done from God's perspective, right, which is wisdom, seeing the world through God's eyes, if we only see the world through our eyes, that tends to be more from the flesh. And we definitely need to keep that in balance. So, you know, I encourage those that are in school that are hearing from a world view, and it's usually facts about God's creation. For every hour that you listen to an instructor, spend an hour in God's word, right? Because our soul, our mind needs that constant balance between what we're receiving from the world, you know, so, and or worship, you know, God tells us to be in an attitude of prayer constantly, right? And an attitude of prayer, an attitude of worship, worship being, from my perspective, is a grateful heart, right? If we have a grateful heart and we're constantly bombarding our soul with statements of faith. Creation, the Answers in Genesis has a tremendous amount of information in. And I know we've got a file cabinet just full. And I get, every time I open that up, we got to pull this out. We've got to get it in, I have to get it in front of my children, right? I really am trying to just encourage. Actually, this is a word for me because I am consistently inconsistent. You know, if there's consistency in my life, it's I'll do a great time, or I'll go at time when we have devotions, or I'm talking around the table, and then I'll go a week when, you know, I've let my soul been bombarded, and you know It's a constant reminder that we need to engraft God's word into our heart, into our soul. We need to have that walk in an attitude of prayer. So I just want to encourage you this week, and just as we move forward, I was standing out, shaking hands and waiting, and I noticed the moon up in the east. And it was like, wow, you know, God spoke all of that into existence. And he is a God to be worshiped constantly. Every time we walk out, and the nature that we see is groaning, right? It is groaning because of the fall, but yet it's still spectacular. It still holds us in awe. As we just read, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And I just want to encourage you this morning, just to, when you see human ingenuity, even when you see something being run down and needs maintenance or needs energy, you know, it just is a reminder of God not only speaking the world into existence, but he sustains the creation. If it were not for God sustaining creation, it just wouldn't exist. You know, I know that physically he sustains us. You know, by his stripes we were healed. We were healed, right? It's a done deal. It's just that we have to step in faith and accept it and to realize that he sustains creation. He actually puts the energy in it, and he sustains creation. So what I'd like to do is, hopefully for those that are staying for the potluck, maybe while we're eating, I'm going to go ahead and we'll leave the projector and the screen up, because this little video that just puts the vastness of creation in perspective, I think is a really important thing for us to grab hold of, because it builds our faith. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, Almighty God, our Creator, our Lord, and our King, we just stand in awe of what you've created. We stand in awe that we exist and we have breath. And the fact that, Lord, you veiled yourself in humanity and came to this earth, and Lord, you've given us salvation. Father, I just pray this morning that you'll help us go from this week and just be reminded that we need to flood our soul with faith. We need to build our faith, take action to build our faith. Lord, we need to be in a constant sense of prayer and worship and giving you praise. Father, help us to live by your Spirit. Help us to see the world through your eyes. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I thank you for our fellowship. I just pray, Lord, that you'll just be with us this week. Help us to stand in awe of you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.